The Skype recorder did not record you at all.
WTF Skype?
I know. Luckily, when it's just, because it's just the two of us, it was very easy to just kind of guess where to sync points up, and it it was fine. So when I learned that, I had to double check after recording OHack, and I technically didn't confirm that Mikhail showed up. I only listened to the first 5 seconds, and it was just me and Jack. But at least there was another voice, so I feel fairly confident that it recorded everything. But it worried me.
Weird.
Want to know I've been craving this weekend?
No, I don't want to know. I'm just kidding, yeah.
What? So Grant's comment. I really wanted Christmas cookies. Whether they be sugar cookies or chocolate chip cookies, both count for me. But, so I was planning on getting some stuff to make cookies with, mainly just cookie dough, because I'm lazy and I don't want to get a bunch of cooking ingredients.
I can understand that.
Yeah. But then I started looking around the kitchen where I'm staying, and there does not appear to be a cookie sheet anywhere.
Yep.
Of all the things to not have, I couldn't find one anywhere. I looked all over. Crazy. It was sad. I almost bought one, but I didn't feel like it either. So it said I just bought cookies at the store. They were fine. They're actually pretty good. They were like from the bakery of the grocery store. They were fine. Not as good as like fresh homemade cookies, but
yeah,
I'll get my fill. I can make them when I'm at home. I have time.
You'll get your fix then.
Exactly. It was just a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, what I did do, I sat at a bar for the first time last night.
Whoa.
Yeah. I wanted to read, and there was, well, okay, just let me provide context and then explanation, because the context probably won't be sufficient for you.
Just one sec. So, Mark sat at a bar last night because he wanted to read.
Yeah, so I was sitting in my room reading.
Okay.
And then two of the people who were also in this house were in the kitchen talking very loudly. And as you know from the dogs barking, there is no sound isolation whatsoever in my room, right?
Yeah, because your wall is made out of tissue paper.
Yeah, and, you know, as I mentioned before, there's about a 4-inch gap under the door as well, and everything's tile. So all the noise just bounces around, and I could hear everything. And it's hard when it's like there's this one specific conversation, and you're trying to read, and, like, that's the only noise that's there. Like, it was very distracting. And also, I was hungry because I had only eaten one meal at about 2 o'clock. So I went to Applebee's, and the local Applebee's did not have any small one-person, two-people tables anywhere in the restaurant, and a host was not forthcoming, so I was like, okay, I'll just go sit at the bar. And it was good, because there's just a lot, like, the number of people and things going on just amounts to white noise at that point, which was actually quite nice. So I got some half apps and had a beer and just sat and read my book, and it was quite pleasant. The bartender was very nice.
Nice.
Yeah. So that is the reasoning for it. Worked out quite well.
I'm gonna be honest. When you started this story, I did not expect it to be an Applebee's bar.
I know. But it was technically a bar. Because this is the thing, like, you can refer to a bar meaning, like, a restaurant that is more bar-focused but has other seating. But, obviously, I've been to bars of that variety. It's just the first time I've sat at the actual bar where a bartender tends to you at the bar.
Yeah.
I'd never done that before. But I overcame my anxiety and did it.
I'm glad you enjoyed your experience.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And then I didn't do it today when I went to a brewery, but, you know, that's because the brewery wasn't very crowded, so I could just find a small table.
See, that's for me, if I go to a brewery, that's the opposite. If the brewery is not very crowded, that's when I sit at the bar, but if it's crowded, that's when I try to find a table not at the bar.
In either situation, if I have the opportunity to just have a bit more space and elbow room, then I'm going to take it and just sit at a table.
Yeah.
That's basically the main reason.
Mm-hmm. I guess I see that. It's just, we go to bars for different reasons, so.
Now, why do you go to bars, Grant?
For social interaction with human beings that are not of the age where they have children my age.
Fair.
AKA yeah, the age of all my coworkers.
Yeah. Well, this is the issue that I found when I felt like going somewhere else to read at 8 o'clock at night, is my options were pretty limited.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no library open at 8 o'clock. And what I've learned through trial and error is that every Starbucks, there's two Starbucks within 2 miles of me, mm-hmm. and they're both ridiculously crowded all the time.
Yep.
And at least in the evening. In the morning, I went to Starbucks this morning. I just walked there and got a table when I got there and just sat and read, and it was fine. But anytime I've tried to go in the evening, it's untenable. It's you have to get very lucky, and most of the time I am not. So I didn't feel like dealing with that. And then I guess there was maybe Panera, but Panera probably closed at like 9 or whatever. So, and that was just the issue. And also the other thing is that a lot of breweries around here don't stay open that late.
Really? Not even till 8?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they stay open that late, but, you know, I was leaving at like 8 or 8:30, whatever it was.
Okay.
And some of them closed at 9.
Mm-hmm.
A number of them closed at 10, but even then I was just like, I don't know exactly how long I'm going to feel like staying out and reading.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to, you know, push my luck. So, and also I wanted food, and there aren't many breweries around here that have food.
Yeah.
Regrettably. So.
You can order in.
That's awkward. Also, most of the ones around are like in an industrial area. Like, what would I order in? Or what would I, you know, I don't want to go like bring Chipotle to a brewery. I don't know. Doesn't sound good to me. I'm more, I don't know. I'm not as brash and uncaring as you are, Grant.
Brash and uncaring? Are you trying to make me angry?
Of course I am, because that makes me laugh and makes things fun. Actually, I should stop doing that. There was a big... So I was editing last night, right? When you said you couldn't record, I figured, well, then I'll just edit the most recent one we recorded. And so I was doing that, and man, the levels that you gave were all over the place.
Yeah, because when I get upset, I get close on the mic and also get loud.
And you also scream. There was a point where I think I had to cut it down. I had to cut it down 15 decibels before it would stop showing it as, like, clipping to the very edge of the, waveform. And it doesn't fix the clipping. Like, no matter what, it's already clipped, and there's nothing I can do about that. The most mm-hmm. I can do is just make it quieter clipping.
But, yeah.
Yeah, there My was bad. A... I mean, granted, last episode that we recorded was quite the anomaly because of the whole popsicle fiasco.
Oh my god.
There's a lot of yelling on both sides. As a result, even I got kind of loud, and I never have to cut my gain. I've never had to do that. And for the first time, there was about a minute and a half stretch where I was like, oh my god, I just need to take this entire thing, and I had to turn it down like 8 decibels to start before I could start going into individual segments to fix it, because it had gotten so loud on both parts.
God. Let's segue into comics so we don't get back on to talking about how you're a horrible person.
Okay, so Grant goes first, as says my note to myself, which I think is up to date.
I kind of think it's not, but
I think it is. Because the one that I just edited, I can check real quick. I can check again, because that thing's already uploaded and the description has been written. So I can check
it who went first. It has written.
It has. Yeah, so I went first when we recorded last.
Okay.
So I am correct. Okay. Oh, the text on this thing is tiny. So,
keep
we
better eyes.
Are faced with... Okay, so we have Loose Parts by Dave Blazek. think we've had this comic on before, haven't we? Sounds familiar.
Oh, shoot. We definitely could have.
I'm not mad at you about it anymore, because we're, you know... I think we have enough now where it's inevitable.
Oh, you meant this comic, not like this exact...
Oh, no. Iteration. Definitely not this exact comic, just the comic loose parts. The
name sounds familiar. Oh, we definitely have,
yeah,
I think.
So we have a Viking ship, except instead of the typical dragon on the aft of the fort... What's the front of the ship called? What's the fancy nautical term?
Mark, you don't know this?
No, I don't.
How could you not know this?
I used to know some of them.
Wikipedia it, so yeah, I don't I'm sound doing like a that fool. Too.
The bow. That's what I was looking for. The bow. So the bow of the ship, instead of having the typical Viking dragon in all its menacing beauty carved into the front, instead it is a clown. And a Viking standing on the dock says, "Go fetch the woodcarver. Tell him ruthless Viking Captain Torg would like to have a word with him." What a title.
I know. That's a good title. I'd take a serious pay cut for that job title.
How much of a pay cut, Grant? Put your money where your mouth is.
less than I alluded to by the phrase serious pay cut.
That's funny.
I would take a pay cut for a serious pay cut for like a paycheck, maybe.
Okay. That's fair.
Just to be able to put that on my business card, because that would be kind of funny.
Ruthless Viking Captain Grant.
Yeah.
You are of the correct broad nationality.
Yes, I am.
Or ancestry, I guess.
Not as nationality. As my grandmother says, I look like I just got off the boat.
I feel like that doesn't say much for anything anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Because anybody who has a strong ancestry from a specific country, you can always look like anything, but I think that's relevant. You know, if you just give me some arbitrary person from a specific, or if you say like, oh, this person has this nationality ancestry, and without talking to them, can you tell if they're first or eighth generation?
Yeah,
be like, well, no, I can't tell. Surprise. Okay, so I can't even... Most of the time, I feel like I can get a good grasp on why you would pick a comic, but this one, I really have no clue.
So...
Like, are you picking up wood carving? Is that the thing? Or are we going to talk about clowns?
Neither, actually. Well, now that you've mentioned wood carving, I am, like, not taking up wood carving, but slowly working on taking up woodworking. But that's not the point of this comic.
Yeah, I know that. I feel like I just kind of want to guess. Like, I want to guess if this is as tenuous as your vice one. Like, maybe the word fetch? Maybe that's what it is? Like, you want to talk about playing fetch with dogs?
No, I actually want to talk about Mean Girls.
Mm.
No, I'm kidding. That's not what I want to talk about.
Man, I feel like I can't figure it out. What is it?
So I want to talk about public image, and this might be one of those topics.
Okay,
that I want to bring up that you're just gonna feel like you have no connection to because you claim like you don't care about it, just like what you look like when you're flying on a plane. But like, do you feel like you are? Like, you A, care about, or B, are, like, paying attention to your public image?
I think this depends on, like, I think there's a lot of different aspects to that. And, like, one aspect is things like the social media that people typically use. And in that case, I use it so infrequently that I don't think there's much to be said.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of things like, like, now I have my own name as my website, so that's nice, and I run a blog there, and I post there weekly, and that's probably the biggest thing that is representative of my public image in mm-hmm. my mind. Is like just as myself, you can just go to markrichard.org and, you know, have a little glance into my thoughts that I have on a weekly basis. And, you know, and that's something that I am kind of cognizant of, the fact that I'm doing that and I have that domain for myself just sort of set out. And the other thing is, from a sort of a work perspective, as an employee of where I work, whenever I'm on a forum and I'm using my username, I have to be aware that anybody on the site can see there's a specific badge next to my name that basically screams like, hey, I'm an official person. And so I have to take relative care with what I post, making sure that it's accurate and helpful and with a good tone mm-hmm. as compared to people who typically are and are, you know, smarter than I am, but just because they're regular users, they don't have to deal with it with the same care. Or my work email, we now have consistent email signatures that have our official branding and logo and my title with the company on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of told, like, yeah, anytime you're sending out email, you know, like, just be aware that if we wanted to, we could look at your email and you are representing the company when you send email from this account.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, yeah, I think that, like, I definitely have thoughts on it. I'm curious what, like, if you have specific thoughts on, like, which domains or which kind of areas of life you're more interested in.
So I kind of expected you to go towards kind of online life, but I was more interested in, like, your, not personal life, but, like, your in-person life. So, like, your public image with, like, your coworkers or people who are, like, your friends or people who you had classes with in college or things like that. And I know lots of, like, people you had classes with in college, maybe that's something that's irrelevant to you now. But, like, while you were there, was the way that your peers viewed you something that you ever thought about? And did it ever affect your kind of choices in life?
I mean, probably yes, just from things like perceived peer pressure, if nothing else. You know, especially like freshman year when you're just sort of figuring out different groups of people to hang out with and what all you want to be doing with your time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was involved with a bit more than I normally would be. But I don't know, like, because the thing is, like, when you say, oh, your friends or coworkers or people that you just kind of meet, like, that's not... I think the reason that I went to online stuff is because that's public. People just meeting me, like, that's a more personal one-on-one sort of a thing. Right? That's not, mm-hmm. like, I don't view that in, like, as my public image.
Okay.
Because it's more just like, oh, what do people see me doing, I guess, like, when I talk to them? Like, how do I interact with people? Well, I try to be nice and courteous. I hope that people who know me would, even if that's not the immediate thought, if someone said, like, oh, is Mark, like, a decent person who is reasonably nice? They'd be like, yeah.
No, answer is no. He's not.
You're a special case, Grant. But I don't know, like, you know, that's the... I don't know, like, there's actually, this is sort of related.
Okay.
But there is one person that I met freshman year. I think it is literally, like, I don't want to, like, I feel weird telling this story because it sounds off, like, it comes off slightly, I don't know, like, a little self-absorbed, but it was the first person and only person that I'm aware of who vocally expressed the fact that they did not like me, like, as a person.
Wow.
And they didn't say it to my face, they said it to other people, and then I became aware of it. But it's the first, like, I've had people who's like, oh, you just don't click, but I've always gotten along with pretty much everybody I've met, and that's something that I pride myself on, is that I'm not a, I don't try to be a difficult person to just have a conversation with, whether it's a one-off or a continuous thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I never got any reasoning. It was just like, I was just informed that this one person that I met freshman year that was kind of tangentially in our friend group just didn't like me. And I was never given any further information, but that's just kind of like, it was probably the most just kind of, not like damaging. I got over it pretty quickly, but it was the weirdest experience. And I was just like, what did I do wrong? And I kind of came down on the side of like, I honestly don't think I did anything wrong. And unless I'm given some specific information, I'm just going to keep doing it because statistics seem to be on my side. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. I know it's not what you were asking, but it came to mind.
No, that fits very well with what I was asking, I guess. Like, did that... So did you just kind of reach the conclusion that, like, it wasn't at all your fault? Or that...
I wasn't told anything specific about why they didn't like me or what kind of rubbed them the wrong way about me.
Mm-hmm.
And without that, there's nothing actionable that I can have. You know, like the other thing is, when I was first starting college, you know, I had a conversation, with Aaron about stuff that was like, you know, the fact that like, oh, you go to college, like it's such a different experience that whether you help it or not, you change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of had that conversation about, you know, things that she perceived to be different about me and whether or not I perceived the same thing and just sort of trying to be a bit more self-aware in that way. And if nothing else, that's made me be a bit more aware of how I've changed while still attempting to, while still trying to sort of hold true to the things that I still identify as being representative of myself, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when I guess the short version is, if I think about my public image or how I come off to other people, it's more about displaying the things that I value and having that be consistent.
Yeah.
So, but things like, I don't know, like how I dress or how I look, I try to not look like a slob, but, you know, I don't worry about stuff like that too much because ultimately, like, you know, in a broad, like, oh, you meet a stranger sort of a thing, like, yeah, if you're aiming for a certain leg up in some positions, it helps to, you know,
curate that part of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's a well-known thing that attractive people do better.
Like, that's why I'm so successful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's such, like, it's just sort of a fact of life.
You agreed with me. That's so cute.
That's because I just wanted to keep going. but, you know, it's not something that, like, that's not my area of expertise. It's not, I don't think that there's a lot that I could do that would be, like, a drastic improvement, you know? Tweak some clothing choices here or there, maybe wear a few more casual button-ups than t-shirts, but beyond that, you know, it's just, that's not the it's not the thing that I value, and it's not the thing I want to and in that way I don't want to kind of reflect incorrectly that it's something that I value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I you know what I want to come off is like, oh, I'm someone who cares about I care about other people, and I also care about being intentional and being trustworthy and also not being completely ignorant of the world. You know? So, and those are the things I try to broadcast. And if I'm doing that, then I feel that I'm doing a pretty good job of, I guess, maintaining my public image.
Yeah.
So, how about you? Because I assume that you had a bit more specific thoughts, if it came up in your head.
Yeah, for the most part. I think my public image is something that at times in my life comes up very, like, directly in my head in terms of thinking about what I want it to be. I most thought about it in college as I was an RA, because I, as I believe we've talked about on this podcast before, I was an RA on a floor of freshman men for 3 years, specifically primarily freshman athletes. And so that's a group of people that I, before going to college, I didn't feel like I had anything in common with or anything that I could connect with them about. It was a group of people that I felt very uncomfortable needing to build personal connections with. And so I think that experience made me very aware of what my public image, and I guess when I'm talking about public image, I also mean in terms of like private personal interactions. So I guess more of just like my image period. So what others are thinking of me. Whereas I know you took it very publicly rather than in kind of one-on-one interactions, but the experience of being an RA made me very aware of what those around me thought of me, because it very directly, I found, affected the ability of me to be able to do my job. Because if people viewed me as some person who was just there to like kill all their fun, I was not going to be able to build a strong relationship with them that was going to allow kind of me to do my job of helping build community and do what I could to be a resource and keep people safe if I needed to. So I would say public image is something that I've thought a lot about, but especially at this point in my life, I don't know what I want it to be. And that's been something that I've been thinking about a lot the past couple weeks, because as a, this is a phrase that makes me very uncomfortable, but young professional, am I that? I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
You professionally make money, and some may call you young.
So I'm a young professional?
By a strict definition, yes. But for me, young professional is reserved for folks in business. Because okay. I get the same sort of heebie-jeebies when I hear corporate speak like that.
Yeah. What if I said I was in the business of spewing bullshit?
Well, we don't make money on this podcast, so I couldn't say that.
Dang it. Okay. So I'm a question mark young professional question mark is what I'm going to say I am. That's an image or being fitting within that phrase is something that I don't really know how to do, and I don't know if it's something that I want to know how to do. And so, I don't know, that's just personally for me, that's why the thought of public image and what those around me think about me has been on my mind recently, and it's kind of why I chose this comic and chose to steer the conversation this direction, to be honest.
What it sounds like, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Put them in my mouth.
But put them right in my mouth.
Oh, God.
But what it sounds, I guess when you phrase it that way, it feels like you're trying to fit into a stereotype. Does that make sense? Like, you have this image of, like, you fit the criteria of a young professional. Therefore, or I mean, I know that you said you don't know if you want to be viewed that way.
Yeah.
But in the same way, like, it's sort of like defining a public image in terms of a collection of stereotypes from categories in which you technically fit, right? Like, I technically fit into a large number of demographic, economic, and social categories, but that doesn't mean I need to broadcast that fact to everyone all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
I hear what you're saying.
Just like you don't need to walk around telling people how great Ludafisk is.
Well, then I'd just be lying, so.
Well, I know that, but that's beside the point, right?
Yeah. I would say more of my struggle is along the lines of if I want that to be part of my image, and I'm kind of reaching the conclusion that, like, the stereotypical quote-unquote young professional isn't necessarily what I want to be my image. But then that begs the question, I think that's the real question I've been struggling with, is what do I want my image to be and how will that affect my ability to work in the sphere where quote unquote young professionals are what's expected of you?
Hmm. I thought we already determined what your public image is supposed to be.
What is that? Have I forgotten?
Hot young professor.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, that just, it just gets me a little bit because I have a couple friends who still, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but they refer to me as Professor Grant. And I know they're doing it like affectionately and like jokingly and lovingly, but every time it just makes me cringe a little bit because it's like they view me as a huge nerd. Like these people mm-hmm. are my closest friends, but they think I'm a huge nerd.
Because you are.
It's true, but like that's one of those parts of my public image that I know exists because I made it exist, but I still have some reservations about it.
Hmm. But, okay, so then I feel like, then we're getting into a question of how much do you want to broadcast the parts of you that are actually you? And this, I mean, Mikhail and I have talked about this a lot of times.
Ooh, about that's a good question.
Issues of perception, right? Public image is, if you talk about public image, you're talking about perception.
Yeah.
You're not talking about who you are, you're talking about how you're perceived.
Exactly.
And how you're perceived defines what people think you are, not who you think you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I tell everybody that I love puppies and then a dog attacks me, but everybody only sees the part where I'm kicking the dog, like, that's the perception, no matter what I try to do to fix the perception.
Yeah.
Or what I say, right?
That was an oddly specific scenario.
I know it was, but it was the first thing that I could come up with, like a terribly negative thing, which is someone who kicks puppies. Nobody likes that person, right? And you can't come back from that.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, like, I don't know. That's always the thing. Like, for me, my thing with perception is I want to, if there's something about me that I want to change, then I work on changing it. And I want the perception to be, I want the perception of myself to be as accurate to how I perceive myself.
Okay.
Right? Like, that's my goal. I want people to view me as closely as I view myself because I like how I view myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have a lot of aspects to who I think I am. And not everything gets translated to everybody in the same way because people see different sides of me. But especially to my closer friends, I expect a pretty close, a lot of similarities between how I describe myself and how my friends describe myself, because they see all those different parts of me,
mm-hmm.
you know? But that's just kind of my focus. That's how I tend to think about these things.
Yeah.
Like, this could easily just be like, we could keep going.
I know. It'd
be one topic.
My silence is me trying to decide if I'm going to engage with that idea or
I think you can. My comic is a pretty silly, like, it'll challenge your description, but the question that I have involving it is not difficult and is kind of silly. So we can keep going for a little bit longer and kind of really quickly go over mine. I think it'll be fine.
Okay, we'll try to do that.
Yeah, so what else did you have to say?
Well, just as you were talking and you said, we're talking about how you want your public image or people's perception of you to be as close to your own perception of yourself as possible. That's an idea that, like, you said it and I was like, yeah, that sounds very good and very true. But then I thought about it more and I was like, I don't know if that's necessarily true. 'Cause like, I'm going to say this and I don't have any specific examples in hand initially. So maybe this will be bad to bring up, but like, I feel like there's parts of myself and how I perceive myself that I hide in my public image because I don't necessarily view them as constructive to it, question mark? Like, I'm trying to think of a more clear way to explain this, and you can probably think of a more clear way before I can. So just cut me off if you want, but like, aspects of my aspects of my personality that would, that I view my, like, I view as positive to myself, but I think others would view as, like, adding complication to the image they have on me that, like, from my perspective doesn't complicate who I am at all, but in a very simplistic view, like, when you're just meeting strangers and stuff, it's just, I think, unreasonable to expect strangers to understand all of the complex nuances of your personality and who you are. And so when I am interacting with new people and meeting strangers, I try really hard to give them a focused and cohesive view of who I am. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily encompass all of the complex aspects of my personality. And thus, I think it kind of isn't totally true to who I view myself as, but on average, it's mostly true.
Well, I mean, so I'm going to cut you off at this point, because obviously what you're saying is correct. The most you can do is get a long-term approximation to who a person is, right?
Yeah.
I've known myself for 22 and a half years. I feel pretty confident in who I am, at least how I perceive myself. Anybody else in my life, except for, I guess, my parents, but they don't see all of me all the time, anybody else is just approximating based on the collection of experiences they have with me, which is a small fraction of the experiences they've had with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, from just a perspective of first impressions, you're totally right. And that definitely is more interesting of, you know, what I was saying is a long-term idealized thing.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that, yeah, if you're thinking about just first impressions, what's the first thing you want someone to get about you? That's totally different. And I think it also entirely depends on the context. If I'm in a math class, I want people to know something different about me probably than if I'm, say, meeting someone for the first time at church or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you tailor yourself to those sorts of situations, but that's, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's definitely a very different situation.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, so then what's your go-to first impression? Like, if it's just like a, I'll try and be a bit more specific, because like I said, I know it's context dependent. But, I don't know, let's be pretty direct. Like, what's the impression that you like to have on something like a dating app?
Oh.
Right? People get sort of one, like, you can try and give a bunch of context to your dating profile, but you can only provide so much, right?
Oh, Mark.
Like, I know this is hard. I know that if you don't want to answer, it's okay. But this is, like, the most specific, interesting thing that I can think of.
Yeah, you opened a real big can of worms with that question.
I know. Maybe I should just stop and we should just move on, and I'll just leave that lingering for another time.
Well, it's a thought that I've been tempted to bring up and have like a whole comic about, but I've been trying to find the right comic for it.
Sure.
So I can,
well, like, maybe we can, I mean, at some point, how about this, we can discuss off air how we want to approach. If there are certain subjects that we actually want to get to in a certain, like, in an actual way, I think we can kind of doctor the way that we do the show to make that happen.
Oh, I don't need to doctor the show to make it happen. It's just like, it's something I definitely want to talk about in more than like a 2-minute conversation.
I know, that's my point. It's like, if we say like, okay, this is going to be, like, this is a thing we actually really want to talk about, instead of just blindsiding each other with topics.
But I like blindsiding each other with topics. Well, it's fun.
I do too, but if there's, like, I think that there are some things that we might both actually want to talk about for 45 straight minutes, and we can make that happen, but today's not the day, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay.
In short, when it comes to dating apps, much like my professional perception as a young person, it's something that I'm kind of torn about right now. So that's why I think it could be an interesting conversation, and we'll leave it for another day. Let's say that.
I think that's good. Let's move on.
Now that we're a significant portion of our podcast in,
we can get a breath of fresh air for mine.
So, Mark's comic for the week is Nancy by Olivia Gimes?
I don't know. Sure.
Oh, God. Oh, here we go. You're right. It's going to be hard for me to describe.
This one's so funny. I burst out laughing when I read this in Starbucks.
Okay. So, in this comic, there is a table and a large jar on the table, and someone is sticking their hand into the jar, and they say, "Nope." And then the jar appears to have doubled in size and height, and they say, "Not quite." And then next, the jar is approximately the same height as before, but half the width. So it just, their arm just fits into the jar, and the person says, "Perfect." In the next frame, there's a boy with two hands in this jar that was described as perfect, it appears, and he says, "Phew, now I can relax," and then suddenly a young girl enters the room and exclaims, "Sluggo, why did you look at my last text message but not respond? You better have a fantastic explanation." I'm going to apologize to listeners in case my explanation didn't do it justice, but that's a funny comic because I was super confused throughout the entirety of it
until
the girl said the word text message and I was like, "Oh no."
Yes, to make it, if you don't have the comic in front of you, to make this crystal clear, basically this guy was just trying to get the correct size jar to get his hand completely stuck in to avoid responding to this text message. That is his fantastic explanation. He has like a little smirk in the second to last panel.
Yeah.
So the only question that I had was just, have you ever done something ridiculous to like get out of a situation?
Oh, God, I'm sure I have, but you're going to want a specific example. And I don't think I've ever done anything that ridiculous.
Well, I mean, I know. It's a bit of an extreme example, but it is a comic after all.
So in this sort of vein, I've considered doing ridiculous things.
That works for me, too.
Like, I've considered, like, after reading a text message that has read receipts on it, I've considered, like, quote-unquote, accidentally dropping my phone in the toilet or something, but I've never actually gone through with it.
Man, those must have been some saucy text messages, Grant.
No, don't use the word saucy. They were just crap that I didn't want to deal with, and I wanted a good excuse. They weren't saucy. That sounds so...
I'm going to look up the definition of saucy.
Like, in that sort of a way that you used it, the only thing that pops into my head for the definition of or other uses of saucy in that context are some line from Shakespeare that was like, "You saucy boy," or something.
Yeah, so only in British English does it mean sexually suggestive. Otherwise, it means impudent or flippant.
What does impudent and flippant mean?
Like, impertinent, irreverent, disrespectful, bold. Brazen.
Ooh, I'm pretty brazen sometimes. I've been brazen some meat. No, I haven't ever braised meat, actually, but it was a funny joke.
Sure it was.
You laughed, it was funny.
I know.
Or maybe my stupidity is what was funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought the comic was so funny and I just wanted to share it.
I thoroughly enjoyed that comic, and when you said it made you laugh out loud, I was like, oh no, I'm not going to find this comic funny, and then I'm going to have to fake laugh at the end. And then I got to the end, and I was like, no, that was actually funny. I can laugh for real now.
I don't even have a specific example for myself either. I know I've done stupid stuff, both for, you know, ridiculous explanations for why I didn't respond to a text for a while because I didn't want to deal with it, to stupid things that you do as a kid when you think that you're clever.
Yep.
You know, to avoid doing anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
My best, this is actually, this isn't like an excuse or an explanation, but just one of my proudest moments being a big brother was when my mom told me to do the dishes, like, you know, unload the dishwasher and do all that. And then my mom went upstairs and I thought, I don't want to do this. So I took my mom's phone out of her purse and texted my little sister saying, can you come down and do the dishes, please?
Oh, that's awesome.
And my sister comes down and just sort of grunts, but then just does it all.
Oh, that is so diabolical. I love that. I wish I was that wise as a young person.
It's the only time I ever pulled that, because I told her right after, just because I want, because that's the thing, you want the reaction, you know, you want your master plan to be known just because it's funny to you. So I told her right after she finished, like, you know, mom's like upstairs and I sent that text. Well, it was so good.
Oh God. I bet she was so happy with you after that.
Wasn't much she could do. She already did it.
She just throws all the dishes, or just like spits on all the dishes and sets them back there for you to do.
She wouldn't do that. That was great.
She's not that vindictive of a person.
Nah, typically not. That's maybe my nice. Older sister would do that, but not my little sister.
Yeah, I'd think about doing it after the fact, but I would never actually do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I would always wish I had the guts to do it, but I would never even get close.